This morning on the program, I'm very happy to welcome two guests who are visiting from the Diocese of San Marcos in Guatemala, the sister diocese to the Diocese of Wilmington. First, I'd like to introduce Sister Mary Lou Doust. Sister is a Mary Knoll sister and a physician, an American working in San Marcos. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning, Bob.
The next person I'm going to interview is Sister Bernarda Rojas. Sister Bernarda does not speak English, so we're going to impose on Sister Mary Lou to do some translating for us. So, buenos dias, hermana Bernarda.
Buenos dias.
She understood that, so we're off to a great start. Because that's about all the Spanish that I can do. We're going to be talking about San Marcos, Guatemala. Since 2003, the Diocese of Wilmington and the Diocese of San Marcos have had a partnership agreement. It's facilitated by Catholic Relief Services. And partnership came about because there was a large number of people from San Marcos immigrating to our diocese to work, primarily in the Georgetown area and the Marydale area of our diocese, to get jobs. That's where the jobs were. So it was an obvious choice for the Diocese of Wilmington and the Diocese of San Marcos to come together with this solidarity partnership. Sister Mary Lou, you are a physician, how long have you been in San Marcos?
Since 1983.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the conditions there, specifically about the medical challenges that the people face.
I think the basic problem is lack of access to health care, and that's due to many factors, one of the most important of which is the limited economic resources of the people in the area, especially people of the rural area of San Marcos. The government services often are not sufficient or too far, or there are too many people, so that often people from the rural areas are just not able to be attended.
And has that changed over the years? Has it gotten better or worse, or has the challenges changed in any way?
We like to think so. Through the volunteer health promoter program that we run in the Diocese of San Marcos, we now have 200 men and women working as volunteers in different rural communities all over the diocese, and they basically provide access to basic health care, preventive as well as curative medicine, to people of the rural area.
So these are volunteers that are trained by you and other sisters and other people in your organization, correct?
That's correct. Sister Jane Buelsbach, who's also a physician, and I do the training together with a Guatemalan physician who works together with us in Pastoral de Salud.
And these health promoters are out in the communities and they take care of what would be considered what basic first aid, or is it more than that?
No, it goes beyond that. They do learn first aid and wound care, but they learn about respiratory and gastrointestinal disease, things that are the common diseases that affect people, and especially children, thinking of perhaps parasites, colds, bronchitis, tonsillitis. There's much malnutrition in San Marcos. Probably about 80% of the children under 5 suffer from malnutrition, so that's really an important factor in the treatment of any of these children also. And so the health promoters learn a great deal about nutrition and about malnutrition.
One of the basic needs that many people in San Marcos don't have is clean water. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that also leads to health problems.
It's probably one of the major factors in especially thinking of diarrheal disease. Diarrhea and dehydration to this day is the major killer of children under 5, and that's largely because of lack of access to clean water.
And one of the things that the Diocese of San Marcos is doing with the help of Catholic Relief Services and with the help of the partnership with the Diocese of Wilmington is to bring clean water systems to some of the villages in San Marcos.
Yes, that's true, Bob, and it's a really important project that's going on.
And Sister Bernarda is involved in that, correct?
Yes, Sister is the director of what we call Caritas, which is the organization, much like Catholic Charities might be here, responsible for some of those social projects.
Would you be so kind, Sister Mary Lou, to ask Sister Bernarda to tell us a little bit about what the diocese is doing to bring clean water to some of the communities in San Marcos, and how many communities have been helped, and if she could just give us a little overview.
Hermana, ¿qué nos puede decir en cuanto a lo que están haciendo con los proyectos de agua, y qué diferencia van a hacer para la gente?
Bueno, con respecto al problema del agua en San Marcos, es un problema serio, pero nosotros como diócesis estamos trabajando porque creemos que es algo que ayuda para la salud.
Go ahead, sister.
Yes, the problem of lack of access to clean water is a really important one in San Marcos, and the diocese is trying to take action to improve this situation.
What are some of the things that the diocese are doing?
¿Y cuáles son las cosas que la diócesis está haciendo para que haya acceso a agua potable?
Bueno, en parte que se están ejecutando proyectos, pero otra parte importante es incidir ante el gobierno para que el gobierno pueda también trabajar sobre este tema que es un servicio básico en la comunidad.
What she says is that the diocese is promoting projects of potable water for rural communities, but perhaps even more importantly, that the diocese seeks to pressure the government so that they provide this basic service to all of the people of the rural communities.
Además, con los proyectos de agua que se están ejecutando, y ahora con la ayuda que Wilmington nos está dando para ejecutar proyectos, estamos haciendo proyectos integrados y se le está dando formación a la gente para que pueda también sostener el sistema de agua potable.
The projects that we are doing now in potable water, thanks to the Diocese of Wilmington, that we're trying to do them in an integral way so that we don't just provide water, but all of the educational aspects. And I think Sister can elaborate a little on the kind of education that's being done. Diga en cuanto a la educación que hace en la comunidad.
En cuanto a la educación que se hace en la comunidad cuando se hace un proyecto, el proyecto es integrado. Se hacen letrinas, pilas. Y cuando se le da agua a la gente, ya tiene el agua en su casa, se le da formación. Cómo usar el agua, cómo usar la letrina, cómo lavarse las manos ahora que ya tienen agua, para que los alimentos sean de mejor calidad y así los niños no se enfermen. O sea que con el agua también la familia mejora la salud. Todas estas capacitaciones se dan a niños, a jóvenes y a los adultos.
The way that this is an integral program is that when there's a water project in a particular community, that they don't just bring water but provide latrines, which are indoor or outdoor sanitation facilities, mm-hmm. As well as a pila, which is a concrete structure where women can wash clothes and wash their dishes. And it then the wastewater goes into a drainage container that they work not just with adults but with children also. They learn the importance of washing their hands before they eat, of preparing food in a manner that's hygienic, and so the entire goal of the project is to again to help. Provide better health or to help people improve their own health.
Very good. And you're listening to Catholic Forum. In case you're just tuning in, my guests today are Sister Mary Lou Doust, a physician and Mary Knoll sister working in San Marcos, Guatemala, and Sister Bernarda, who is working with the water projects for the Catholic Charities of the Diocese of San Marcos in Guatemala. When I was visited Guatemala about a year and a half ago and saw some of these water projects, it was very interesting to know that the community actually has to supply the labor and the personnel, the volunteers to do the education, and they have to also provide the source, the water source. And so it's not just the Diocese of San Marcos going in and giving them something. This is something that the community actually works very hard to obtain. A little over a year ago, Hurricane Stan hit Guatemala, and it affected the people of San Marcos in a very severe way. Both of you, from your work, how has the hurricane affected the people of Guatemala and San Marcos? Sister Mary Lou?
From the perspective of the coast, there was widespread destruction of the infrastructure, major bridges on the main highway, which goes from the Mexican border to Guatemala City, were just ripped out, including the major bridge that's just a half a mile from where I live. That left a large area really without access to transportation. The road to the capital was also destroyed, and so we were there was a short period of time when there was no transport even from the capital, which meant that initially all the food disappeared from the market because everyone bought and nothing was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Other problems have been flooding, especially people who live out by the ocean. They were caught as rivers flooded right where they go into the ocean. And many of those people lost their homes. And some of those homes, I went and attended clinic in one of those villages recently. They said everything we own is under a meter of sand and mud.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that many of them had homes which were adequate. They were concrete block structures, but now absolutely not able to be inhabited. And inside there was a meter of dried sand and mud on top of everything, and you saw small electrical appliances like TVs, everything. They were able to flee. It happened about noon, so there was no loss of life,
mm-hmm.
but all of their possessions, all of their clothes were buried under that. And that was a year ago, and many of those people are still living in temporary housing, which is provided either by the government or by Caritas.
Mm-hmm. Could you ask Sister Bernarda how the hurricane affected her?
Que cuéntelos qué fue el efecto del huracán en la gente del altiplano.
Bueno, el huracán afectó en varios sentidos. Hay mucha gente que perdió la tierra con todo y la casa. Esta gente, ahorita hay un problema serio porque todavía está viviendo en albergues y no hay terreno, el gobierno no ha dado tierra para las familias. El problema del agua fue un 95% que se perdieron los sistemas de agua.
Many people lost their homes and their land, and a number of those people are still living in temporary housing.
Mm-hmm.
The government has not been able to provide them with land, even a small plot on which to construct a house. I could also add that 75% of the corn crop was destroyed in the flooding on the coast, as well as loss of a lot of vegetables and small farm animals. And much the same thing happened in the Altiplano. There was widespread crop loss. So this has been a year of hunger.
Sí, aún en el Altiplano, igual que en la costa, ¿verdad? En el Altiplano, la gente está viviendo aún todavía en los albergues. El gobierno construyó albergues de lona y la diócesis albergues de fibrolit, que son un poquito más calientes, más dignos para la gente. Fue una pelea que hicimos, ¿verdad?, para poder construir esos albergues con los donantes que eran de aquí de los Estados Unidos, pero a Dios gracias, aceptaron el tipo de albergues que queríamos construir. Y como diócesis también vamos rehabilitando alrededor de 88 sistemas de agua, que ya la gente le llega nuevamente el agua a sus casas.
There are still people in the Altiplano also living in temporary housing. There was apparently a discussion about what would be the best kind of temporary housing. What the government was providing were almost like tents made out of like tent material out of cloth. Mm-hmm. What the diocese provided was out of a fiber board, which is more durable and perhaps provides a temporary housing that's more respectful of their human dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are still living in those places. There was also destruction of about 88 sources of water because of the mudslides,
mm-hmm.
And they've been able to rehabilitate those so that water is now arriving in those communities once again.
Hubo muertos también en el altiplano.
Sí, en el altiplano, más de 268.
The death count in the Altiplano was, there were 260 among the dead and the disappeared, the missing,
mm-hmm.
because of, and that was all mudslides.
Y que seguimos trabajando en la incidencia ante el gobierno para
and,
fuertemente.
They continue working in a very strong, a very vigorous manner with the government, trying to pressure the government into providing these basic human services to the people of San Marcos.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an interesting subject, and we could go on talking about this for a long time, but however, we're out of time. So I just want to thank Sister Mary Lou Doust and Sister Bernarda Rojas for being with me this morning on Catholic Forum. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.